Welcome to episode 538 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Wait, I feel like we just did this, Josh.
Well, I wouldn't say just did this. It's been about 2 days. All of you are wondering, why is it taking Josh so long to get a podcast out? Well, like usual, it is my fault. So we did record on Tuesday night, and like usual, on Wednesday night, I sat down to put it all together and got about 34 seconds into my recording, and the audio was wrecked for the rest of the show. It was real bad. Not salvageable.
Yeah, not listenable. I thought, oh, you know, it's a little crackly. How bad will that be? And you sent me a sample and it was really bad. So I am happy to talk about the last few weeks' news with you again.
It was so good. We're doing it twice.
Absolutely.
Yes. One thing we're not doing twice is listener feedback, because we don't have any. Hopefully I'll send us some for next time. Maybe it's because we didn't have listener feedback that my audio recording went to crap. It was so sad that we didn't have listener feedback that it was just like, nope, I'm out, I'm done. So if you want to preserve next week's recording, you can send us a message at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. So let's get into, I have no idea how this is going to go. We've only had to do this like once before, and you never know, because you want to say the same jokes, but you're not going to get the same response. And I don't know.
It's a shame. We had some good titles, too.
We did. One other thing that I did want to point out that I forgot to tell you last time we recorded this episode, which is such a weird word phrase to say, is this week is the 10-year anniversary of the 100th episode of this show.
Huh. Okay. That's weird anniversary, but okay.
It is weird. Jen must have got it in like a Facebook timeline event or something like that, because she's the one who pointed it out to me. So yeah. Okay. So let's actually get into the news now that we've yammered on for almost 3 minutes. So T-Mobile, kind of an unlikely, well, maybe unlikely company, is entering the market of online streaming, mostly live television stuff. So they've got a new thing. It's called T-Vision, T-V-I-S-I-O-N. It's similar to like Hulu with live TV or YouTube TV, Sling TV, you know, all of those types of things where you pay a monthly fee and you get access to something similar to cable TV. It's a little bit weird. They've got a few different options that don't necessarily sound like what you would expect, except for the first one. So the first option is just called T-Vision Live. It's $40 a month. You get more than 30 channels. It can be plus or minus, you know, because it does include some locals depending on where you live. So like for me, I get 36 channels. For you, it might be more. And this includes a fair amount of sports. Like you get ESPN and the Fox Sports channels and NBC Sports. It's kind of unusual to get all of them. It gives you your live news from CNN and Fox News, and some other channels like Bravo and stuff like that. What you don't get is the other channels that I think most people tend to look for here, which is HGTV, TLC, Food Network. Those are not included in this package. You get 100 hours of cloud DVR, which is not a ton, but it's something, and at least it's still in the cloud, so you don't have to worry about buying your own hard drive and all that sort of craziness. Like other services, you can add on to this. For $10 more, you can get T-Vision Live Plus, which basically just adds more sports channels, like a bunch of Big Ten network channels and SEC, stuff like that. That all sounds pretty normal. Where it starts to get weird is they've got something called T-Vision Vibe. And this is a lot more like regular Hulu in that it's fewer channels, but it's probably some of the ones that you were missing from the first one, like Discovery, BET, AMC, HGTV, TLC, Food. They're all in this version, and it's still live and on demand, but it's $10 a month. It's just way fewer channels.
Wait.
But it's also different channels.
So you could get just the $10 a month plan and get these channels, which are pretty much the channels that most people want, and not have to pay the $40 a month? I'm so confused.
It is super confusing. And their press release and most of the other sites that reported on it didn't really make it super easy to understand. Hmm. But yeah, TVision Vibe is its own separate thing, as far as I can tell.
Not an add-on.
Not an add-on.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. So that's an option. And then a third option is called TVision Channels. And this allows you to subscribe to what we would typically call premium channels, things like Epix, Showtime, Stars. Those are the first three announced so far. You still pay the normal amount for them, but you lump them all together in one bill. So it makes billing easier, but that's about it. In terms of how you're going to watch all this, you don't have to worry that because it's T-Mobile, you're only going to watch on your phone. Of course, you can watch it on your phone, but they have apps for basically everything, including Android TV. And they're actually making their own Android TV box that you can buy with this app pre-installed and stuff. So what do you think of these offerings, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a Me Too product, and I'm not trying to make a joke here, but I feel like I've heard this story before, because T-Mobile had an over-the-top offering in the past, except it was designed to be something that you would watch on your phones. And I don't know how successful that really ultimately ended up being. Obviously, not all that successful because they don't offer it anymore. This is fine. I mean, I want to see T-Mobile do something innovative, and this doesn't strike me as particularly innovative. They're the company that kind of breaks the mold and does cool stuff. So I'll be watching to see, you know, what kind of promotions they have and if they add on to this at all to distinguish it. Because right now I don't see anything that significantly distinguishes it from what everybody else is offering.
The only thing that I think is different and somewhat interesting is that you do get the sports channels, like all of the major sports channels in that one package. Like with Sling, you'd have to do the Orange plus Blue to get all of them, which I can't remember if that's 40 or 45 a month.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And it's still significantly cheaper than YouTube TV.
Right. All right. Well, next up, we're going to revisit one of my favorite services, Quibi, because we're saying goodbye to it. That was a joke because I really just didn't care at all about Quibi. And apparently, neither did anybody else, because after nearly $2 billion in capital raised, $1.75 billion in capital that they raised to launch this back in April, like 6 months ago, they're shutting the service down. And over the course of the next few months, they'll be letting people know when their service is going to be stopping. I think they're going to roll the shutdown for some reason, probably because they have distributed server farms and stuff like that, and then ultimately sell off the assets, which includes the intellectual property and any technical stuff that they've built up so that they can pay back as much as possible to their investors. But wow, this sure didn't last long, and you might argue that it's because of the pandemic and the timing. I might argue that I thought this was a bad idea from the beginning.
Yeah, you and a lot of people never liked the idea of this. I was willing to give it a chance. I did give it a chance. I talked about it on the show that there was a particular series that I enjoyed and watched all of, but I still didn't watch much of it. But I do have to wonder and kind of assume that the pandemic does play a pretty big role in this. When it is a a video streaming service that is geared around being able to watch while you're out on the go, out in public transit and stuff like that. And for the last 6 months, no one's been able to do any of that.
Right.
That's setting you up for failure. And they tried pivoting. They got Chromecast support built pretty quickly and things like that, but it just wasn't enough. And Chromecast support is weird. Like, I don't necessarily want to watch this type of content on a TV. It's not even like it can be viewed in a horizontal aspect ratio, but it's not even really meant to be. So it was weird. And it's unfortunate for all of the people who work there and all of that, but not very surprising.
Yeah. So all of you who pre-ordered that rotating television, you may want to cancel those orders. Just kidding. I don't think that actually came to market yet either. All right.
There's like a mount that you can get that's motorized and will turn your TV.
Oh, I am 100% sure that that exists somewhere.
It's got to.
You'll pay for it. But oh, right. It absolutely exists, no
Will
doubt.
Will your Logitech Harmony control the rotation? Because I don't want a separate remote for this. Come on.
Of course not. Of course not. Oh, wow. All right. Let's move on. So there have been some rumors, and by rumors, I mean stuff posted to Twitter and other places where signs that Apple TV Plus and the Apple TV app may be coming to Xbox consoles. And if so, that would be the first console device that this is available on.
Well, it depends. It depends on when it actually launches. We're going to talk about it coming to another console in a couple of more stories. But you're right. Currently, it isn't actually on any of the video game consoles. So the app, from these screenshots, which is clearly in testing, basically looks identical to Apple TV app on everything else, on your Samsung and LG TVs and things like that. So it's exactly what you would expect is what it sounds like. And so just in testing, maybe this launches when the Xbox Series X and S launch, but if they're testing on Xbox One now, then I would assume it becomes available on Xbox One also.
Yeah, very likely. But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, what I've read also suggests that this is very likely intended to come out with the new box, which is great timing. You know, I think this is a cool thing. And I liked seeing Apple TV on more platforms. So like you said, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Speaking of Apple TV, if you have Apple TV and you have purchased high definition or 4K Disney movies, you probably noticed that all your other studios' purchases were getting upgraded automatically to 4K on Apple TV, but not Disney movies, because Disney didn't play in that arrangement for some reason. Well, now, according to sources, your 4K content that you purchased on digital copy should also be available as 4K on Apple TV. And similarly, if you had HD movies, it should just get upgraded to 4K, your Disney HD movies.
Now, hold on, Richard, why are you saying according to sources? I don't know anybody who owns as many Disney movies as you, and you have an Apple TV. So why can't you just tell me that this is the case?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I just tell you? Because I can't confirm it because mine haven't been upgraded yet. And I don't understand. I have, you're right, so many Disney films and none of them appear as 4K yet on my Apple TV. So I don't know what's going on there.
Boo.
Right. Right. Not happy about that at all. But I'm glad it's coming. It's about time. So, you know, now maybe let's turn our attention to putting pressure on Paramount and Lionsgate to get their movies in Movies Anywhere.
Oh, yes. That would be really nice. Okay. Keep recording. Okay. So now we get to talk about Apple TV and Apple TV Plus coming to a video game console, because Sony announced that with the launch of the PlayStation 5, they are planning to include Apple TV, Disney Plus, and Netflix on the console day one, It's also going to have Twitch. Like, you, of course, have to have Twitch. It's also going to have Spotify, PlayStation, Sony, and PlayStation have had a long time relationship with Spotify. Spotify was on PlayStation long before it was on Xbox. So that all makes sense. But there are some services that won't be there, like Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, Peacock. None of those are going to be on the PlayStation 5, your $500 game console, on the day you buy it. And some of you might be going, Josh, stop being a Microsoft fanboy. This is how game consoles work. Don't you remember the Xbox One? It didn't have a bunch of the apps that the Xbox 360 had at launch. And you would be 100% right. But things done changed, folks. Because I was doing a little bit of research into this. I was looking at Microsoft's developer documentation a couple of weeks ago and found the section that talked about developing apps for the Xbox Series X. And in that documentation, it said, of course, there will be some new features that developers can build into new apps when running on the new consoles. But it also said that developers have to do one thing to make their apps work on the Xbox Series X. Nothing. They have to do nothing. They don't even have to do one thing. It's nothing. I'm lying. Like, you don't have to do anything. All of the apps that are on the Xbox One will be on the Xbox Series X day one. The developers don't have to do anything. So they'll just be there because it's the same app store.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, the Xbox has 5 billion video apps on it right now, including Peacock and Hulu and Amazon Prime Video. And it has Spotify and it has Disney Plus and Netflix. It doesn't have Apple TV, though. So if they get that on November 10th, when the Xbox Series X launches, then they'll have everything that you're looking for. And who knows when the PlayStation 5 will get all of the apps that you've been using on your PlayStation 4 for the last 7 years.
I'm pretty shocked by Hulu not being available. I mean, Peacock is of the services the newest, right? So, okay, you don't have that available yet, but Hulu and Prime Video has been around too, but Hulu?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, how do you not have Hulu? That's so weird. So weird. So, there you go. Reason number 865 for why you should buy an Xbox Series X instead of a PlayStation 5. Perhaps. All right, sticking with the Xbox side of things, Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox over at Microsoft, was being interviewed in the last week or so, and he had some interesting things to say when talking about Project xCloud. It's funny that he still calls it xCloud, even though it's technically just called game streaming in Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, but everyone knows what xCloud is now, so I'm totally happy with him continuing to use that name. So I'm just going to read you the quotes of exactly what he said. I think you're going to see lower priced hardware as part of our ecosystem when you think about streaming sticks and other things that somebody might want to just plug into their TV and go play via xCloud. Later in the interview, he said, you could imagine us even having something that we just included in the Game Pass subscription that gave you an ability to stream xCloud games to your TV and buying the controller. So they're talking about essentially streaming sticks that'll support xCloud and potentially making them themselves, maybe, but not necessarily. They could build these with a partner. But you could imagine a $50 streaming stick from Xbox that has the Project xCloud app, the Game Pass app on it, plus all of the video and music apps and stuff that are already on the Xbox ecosystem.
Mm.
And if they're making this hardware special for all of this, it would probably have the built-in Xbox wireless controller stuff too. So you wouldn't even need to worry about, you know, Bluetooth or a wired connection for your controller. It would all just be there. And it sure would make traveling, you know, if you're going on vacation and bringing your Xbox with you, like I do.
Who would do that?
Every time I go on vacation, I take an Xbox with me. And that Series X, or the Xbox One X, that thing is heavy. So, you know, taking a little dongle and a controller, that would be nice. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, and, you know, you're imagining something pretty impressive if it's also going to have all of the streaming video and media service apps available to it. I hadn't even thought about that. I was thinking, okay, well, this just gives you access to xCloud games. Even that alone, I think, would be an interesting play.
It would be. It definitely would be. But if it was the apps plus that app, that would be amazing.
It would be. Yep. That takes some horsepower, potentially.
It does.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure about that aspect, but that would be ideal. I mean, the other option, we could potentially see them partner with Roku or Amazon. Well, no, it's not going to be Amazon. They've got their own game streaming service. But partnering with Roku and building an app. Ooh, but the app ecosystem on Roku is a friggin' nightmare, too. So, I don't know. Maybe they do have to just build their own. Not sure.
Hmm.
But I'll look forward to it if it does become a reality. As for right now, if you want to do Project xCloud, you can only do it on an Android device, a phone or a tablet. And right, well, up until really this week, you basically had to pair your Xbox controller with your phone or tablet to play, with one exception, Minecraft Dungeons, that came out fairly recently, and they built on-screen controls for that game. Seemed to work fairly well, I guess. I don't know. It's not my kind of game. Didn't play it. They've added touch controls to 10 more games for you to give this a try on. Dead Cells, Guacamelee 2, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, Hotshot Racing, Killer Instinct, New Super Lucky's Tale, Slay the Spire, Streets of Rage 4, Tell Me Why, and Undermine. A couple of these stand out to me. Killer Instinct is a fast-paced fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how, and it requires precision. I have no idea how that would work. Like, there's just no way I could see anybody really playing Killer Instinct with on-screen touch controls. But, like, it maybe they put it there because it's the best way to really test this process. Some of these would work really, really well. Tell Me Why is, this is one of these narrative-driven adventure games where it doesn't require a lot of really precise action. You're just kind of wandering around and occasionally clicking on things. That would be perfect for this. So I think this is a great idea. They've made it super easy to use. When you fire up the Game Pass app, there's a whole section of games that it calls out as, like, these are the games with touch controls. And the touch control stuff can even be customized. So you can move them around a little bit if you don't like where they are exactly. Even the way that it puts the controls on the screen can be kind of interesting. So, like, I tried playing Dead Cells with it, and on the right side of the screen, where you would normally have A, B, X, and Y buttons and things like that, it not only had A, B, X, and Y, it also had a little icon showing what that button does. So, like, X had the sword icon because that's the button that you use to attack, and there was a run icon and a jump icon, and, like, that is super awesome.
I love that.
Because now you don't even have to look up what the controls are.
I freaking love that.
It's great. It's really great, but it still has a really tiny little A, B, X, and Y next to it in case you do need to know what button it actually is. Like, an on-screen dialogue box pops up and you need to press A to close it or whatever. That's still there. So I don't know if that's the case for all games, but for some of them, that is really, really handy. I love it.
Cool.
So while those on-screen controls make tons of sense, I'm not sure that this next story makes any sense at all. Facebook is also rolling out their own cloud game streaming service. It's free, so it's got that going for it, but that also means it's going to be ad-supported. But instead of, like, playing Halo or Killer Instinct or anything like that. It's more like mobile games. You're going to be playing
Bejeweled. Games that,
yeah, Bejeweled is a great example. Farming Simulator. I don't know. Stuff like that. As a streaming app, it's playable on Android and the web. So let's think about this from the mobile perspective. You're on your Android phone. You can stream an Android game. Why don't you just install it? Like, that doesn't require a constant data connection. The games are free. Like, I don't really get that unless you just have a low-end phone that maybe can't play the game or doesn't have enough storage for the game, because mobile games can get ridiculous. Like, mobile Call of Duty Mobile is like 1.5 gigs of storage
right.
on my phone.
But you pretty much just said it's not those kind of games necessarily, right? And Facebook has, for years and years and years, offered up a platform for building games in Facebook. So,
right.
you know, the idea that, okay, so now your game can kind of stream through the Android app, or it could stream if you're using the web. But what was the thing with not Apple?
Well, Apple doesn't want to play this game with anybody. You don't have Project xCloud on iOS.
All right. This is just the same thing as like Epic and all that crap.
It's exactly like you don't have Google Stadia. You don't have NVIDIA GeForce Now because iOS doesn't want those services on their phones without the app publisher or whatever separately submitting every single game to the App Store so that it can be listed and rated and all of that stuff. Plus, and far more importantly, the real reason they do this, they want a cut of the subscription. Now, in this case, there's no subscription, but Facebook still isn't really letting this happen because, and this time they're claiming it's because they want the separate listings for every single game.
Yeah, I can see that, which I think is ridiculous. I also think that Facebook likes to control the data, and Apple isn't going to let them do that.
Right, right. So, not on iOS yet, but they'll probably end up doing the same thing that Amazon's doing with Luna and just building it into a web app so that it can run on an iPhone. We'll see, but I don't know. I just don't see this service really taking off. It's just not that compelling of a service, I don't think, even if it is free.
Yeah, I mean, the enthusiasm in your voice pretty much says it all.
Well, you combine Facebook, which I hate, with crappy mobile games that I don't want to play.
And
what
having,
is there to be excited
and having
about?
To talk about it for the second time, it's like the trifecta of I don't care.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, I hate to end the news segment on a terrible story like that, but at least it means it's over and we can get into what's going on in our entertainment centers, because when Richard goes 2 weeks plus goes on vacation during those two weeks of not being on the show, he builds up quite a list of things to talk about. So, Richard, what's going on in your entertainment center?
Yeah, it is quite a list. Let's start with hardware, because you may remember that I talked about how I ordered the new Chromecast with Google TV and that I was taking advantage of the Netflix offer where you basically end up paying something like $12 or $13 for the Chromecast itself by the time you get the $77 or $78 rebate back on your Netflix account. So it was a no-brainer for me. I was so excited about that. So I didn't get a chance to test this out when I was away, but I did try it as soon as I got back on my office TV. Now, my office TV is kind of the hand-me-down television in the house. It used to be in a bedroom, and then it ended up in a spare room, and now it's in my office, and it's probably about 10 years old. It's not a smart TV. It's an old LG 720 LCD TV that is perfectly good, except that second generation Chromecasts and later are somehow incompatible with it. I get snow when I try to watch anything on it. And
snow,
like
we used to get with bunny ears.
Like you used to get with bunny ears, but digital. So individual pixels of black and white just all over the screen and an occasional flash of the actual interface. And I did some searching and this is a known problem. So it's probably an HDMI incompatibility thing. 10-year-old TV, firmware upgrade over the wire kind of thing. It's just not going to happen. So my $12 Chromecast dongle is now going to be a little bit more expensive because I've made the decision to replace the television. And I was all set to buy, I believe it was the TCL that has the Roku interface built into it. Not that I would have used that, but I would have had some experience with it. 720p for $118. What a ridiculous deal. I am all in. And Josh, what did you do?
Well, you made the mistake of jumping into the DMZ Slack channel and telling me and the rest of the DMZ contributors about this plan. And I said, Richard, I don't think that we can let you back onto the podcast if you buy a 720p TV in 2020. Like, I feel pretty strongly about it, and I'm pretty sure all of our listeners would feel pretty strongly about it. You're going to have to find another option. No 720p in 2020.
It's a friggin' 32-inch TV. I mean, seriously, why would I need a higher resolution than that? And it was only $118. But no, the peer pressure got to me. And this is bad news, because what I ended up doing was I ended up having to think about, all right, well, I can't fit a larger TV there. I'm not going to buy a 1080p or higher 32-inch television, because that's just ridiculous. And I don't even know if you can, quite frankly. So I started looking at larger TVs, and the only place for it is on the wall behind my monitor where I'm sitting right now, that I'd look up and I'd be able to see the TV on the wall there. And that would actually, it'd be high, but it'd work pretty well for when I'm working. It would work pretty well for if someone's staying in here as a guest room, because the bed is on the opposite, the fold-out bed's on the opposite side. So I'm like, all right, that's probably a good plan. So I started looking and I ended up deciding on the Samsung Frame, the TV that looks like a framed picture when it's off, and then when it's on, it is your normal television. These are so good, these TVs that look like pictures, that Josh actually couldn't tell the difference between these and pictures at CES. And the trick was that they were all TVs.
Right. They totally fooled me. They look that good.
So I'm kind of excited about it. It was supposed to be here tomorrow. I don't think it's going to get here tomorrow. I got a delayed notice on it, but I ended up ordering a 50-inch. That'll end up going on the wall. I'm going to have to figure out how to handle the cable management on that and everything, but I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much did your $12 Chromecast cost you?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details there. It was on sale, though.
A little bit more.
It was on sale.
More than 118.
And I used my Delta SkyMiles shopping thing so I could get extra points for it too. So,
from all of the flying you get to do right now.
I am feeling good about it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's going to be like, I'm giving you a lot of crap, but it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty cool. All right. So, like I said, I was on vacation, and I don't know how anybody else vacations these days, but I'm not getting on a big tube with a bunch of other people. So we hopped in the car with the dogs and drove down to a rental property on a secluded beach in North Carolina. And it was beautiful. And I watched a lot of television while we were there because, we're not going out and eating at restaurants or anything like that. So I am behind on my podcast again, because when I'm on vacation, I usually end up losing some ground there. But as far as TV, we watched some more of Doctor Who season 3. I am expecting to watch the finale of Big Brother All Stars tonight. And while we were away, I actually watched that and the premiere of the new season of The Amazing Race remotely through channels. Josh, I don't know if you've ever tried to watch anything remotely over Plex, but my experience with that was just never good.
It was never consistent. Like I would try to watch like a football game remotely and it would work fine for like 20 minutes and then it would stop. And yeah, it was never great.
I was able to watch these shows that were recorded. I was able to watch live TV. It was all really good. I was very happy with it. And, you know, more things to like about channels for sure. While I was away, the season premiere of Star Trek Discovery came out, season 3. And I was just sucked into that completely, not just because it's such a good show, but they recorded a lot of the landscapes for the planet they're on right now in Iceland. And it was beautiful. And they're walking around. And I'm thinking, wait, that looks familiar. And then they're going past this falls and they're walking behind the falls. I'm like, wait, that looks really familiar. And I started looking it up and it's like, yep, they're filming in Iceland this year. So that was really cool.
That's really cool.
And then the new series, The Right Stuff, which is based on the book, The Right Stuff, the same book that the movie most people are familiar with was based on. It is the story of the Mercury 7 and the start of the space program in the US. So that is now a series on Disney Plus, and I'm really enjoying that. And I have to tell you, I don't know how they pulled this off, but between, you know, we've seen this story, I don't know how many times now through all these different, you know, producers that want to put their touch on how to deliver this story. This still feels both familiar and yet fresh at the same time. So I'm really impressed by what they're doing there.
That's cool. So when I saw this in the list, maybe it's just because there's something important coming up next week, but I saw it and I'm like, I've never heard of The Right Stuff. It must be a show about Republican politics.
Wait, are you serious? You've never heard of The Right Stuff?
No, never heard of it.
Okay.
It's a pretty generic name.
Okay. This is hurting me. While we were away, we were there with another couple. And, you know, we did this whole bubble thing. We all got tested and then we went on vacation together. And they were introducing us to some shows that we hadn't seen before. And one of them was the Netflix series, The Last Kingdom. This is I think it's 3 seasons now and going on 4, a story basically about Vikings kind of taking over parts of England. And they were basically introducing how that all was starting. And it was really fascinating from what we've seen so far. So I think we're going to end up continuing to watch that. It's, you know, it's a drama. It's based on loosely on some history, but it's not intended to be a historical documentary or anything like that. And then the show that everybody's talking about, and Josh, you've talked about it because I think your wife has been watching this, and it's okay to say this because it's spelled with an SCH, Schitt's Creek, which is friggin' hysterical.
Yeah, most people who like comedies love the show. That ain't me.
Yeah, because you don't like funny things. So, okay. Well, I like funny things, and so I've also been watching Last Week Tonight because it puts a fun spin on the otherwise horrible news that we get bombarded with all the time. Also have been watching segments from Saturday Night Live, and, you know, it's funny. I was talking with friends today while we were waiting for people to join one of our meetings, and they were saying, "Yo, did you see this thing on Saturday Night Live?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't really watch Saturday Night Live anymore. I just watch parts of it on YouTube." And he's like, "Oh no, yeah, that's how everybody watches Saturday Night Live now." So, you know, it's I don't think it's as good as it's been, but there have been some good parts. I've been keeping up with Fargo. That show is so good. This season has been so great. Watch The Conners. First episode of the season didn't really do it for me. I actually disliked it. So we'll see how they carry things out. They're trying to show life with the pandemic. life with COVID. And I don't know that they did a very good job of that. Similarly, I started watching the season premiere of This Is Us. And while they're conflating things that happened in different times during the pandemic, I think that they are handling it a little bit better on that show. So it's interesting watching kind of, you know, art trying to represent what's going on in life right now and seeing how well they're doing it or not.
Yeah, like when I hadn't thought about this before, but in like 20, 30 years, there's going to be TV shows that are set in 2020 just to kind of show what it was like. And we'll be ancient, but we'll be able to watch those shows, and you'll definitely watch it because you watch everything. And and we'll be the cranky old men. I mean, we're the cranky old men right now, but we'll be the cranky old men. They'll be like, that isn't right. That isn't how it happened.
Right. Or just even having this period of art or TV and movies or whatever kind of marked by episodes that talk about this or that are just living in this scenario, whether it's sitcoms or movies or TV shows or what have you, it'll be interesting. On the flip side, and I think you've talked about this before too, I watch some stuff on TV where you see like big gatherings or, you know, someone's going up and they're meeting someone and they give them a hug. And my first reaction is like, what are you doing?
Right. Like, I thought that by now I wouldn't have that reaction anymore, that I would have gotten used to this enough but it still happens to me like every time I watch something.
Well, and I think that's because it's becoming more commonplace for us to be living differently now, to limit the things that we do and change our behaviors. And so when we see that not happening, I mean, frankly, I'm glad that we have that kind of visceral reaction to it. And I hope, I would like to see more of life imitating art in that respect. Right? So anyway, also have been watching a lot of news. And of course, we had the final presidential debate during that period. Watched a bunch of movies. Watched the movie Enola Holmes, which is about the, as far as I'm concerned, previously unknown sister of Sherlock Holmes. I'd never heard of her before. Great movie starring the woman who plays Eleven in Stranger Things, who is, I think, a phenomenal actor. So I highly recommend that. I think it was very good, particularly if you like Sherlock Holmes type stuff. Watched The Philadelphia Story, which was a recommendation from our friends. That's a very, very old black and white debutante couple dealing with their rich issues in their ridiculous lives. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. Also watched a really funny British comedy movie called Death at a Funeral. Loved that. I thought it was wonderful. I watched the documentary Totally Under Control, which is a documentary by the guy that did Smartest Guys in the Room and some of these other similar types of news-oriented documentaries. It was like watching the news for 2 hours. It made me feel sad and frustrated, and I felt like I knew most of it already. So I don't recommend this to many people. Making me happy, however, was the documentary about the fan base and the story behind creating Galaxy Quest. It's called Never Surrender. It is pretty typical for, you know, fan life movies. Like, this is what the fan base is like. You see this a lot around Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff like that. Who would have thunk that this little movie that didn't even really do all that well in the theaters would have such an enormous following and so much kind of, you know, interest behind it. And this was just a delightful documentary about all of that. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, and you were one of those people that loved that movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Love, love, love this film. I saw it in the theater. I own it. I have watched it numerous times. Has a phenomenal cast. I think it's a great, great film. And then on the feel-good side, I'm going to vacillate here real quickly. On the feel-good side, finally, the last movie that we watched was a rewatch of 50 First Dates, what I think is probably the best Adam Sandler film. And I know that I'll take heat for that, but I love this film because I think it makes him realistic and endearing in a way that a lot of other films he does where he acts stupid just don't do. And then, of course, I can never remember her name, Drew Barrymore. It also stars Drew Barrymore, and she's usually really good in stuff, too. So, love that. Now, on the not feeling good side, I was on vacation. When you go on vacation, what do? You read. So I started reading a book, and I chose to read 1984. I have read this before, so technically I'm rereading it, but I mean, I haven't read it since, I think, college. So this is, yeah, all too close to home. And then finally, we'll land on the good side because I needed more good. I started watching Ted Lasso again, and I'm about 2/3 of the way through that now. Man, it's good. It's just so good. I mean, it's good enough that I'm watching it for a second time, and some people haven't even seen it the first time yet. Can't recommend the show enough.
Awesome.
All right. That's it for me. That's a lot, as we expected. Josh, I can't wait to hear your long list.
It's been 2 weeks. I should have watched a ton of things and played a ton of things, right? Yeah, not so much. Nah, not when I've been working on a major, major house project. So I think the only game that I've played in the last week was my, like, once a week get together with some friends, where lately we've been playing Call of Duty. So I did do that last Sunday, I think it was. And other than that, not really any gaming. I haven't really been watching much either. My family still has been, though. And right now, while we've been working on this housing project, we're doing new floors on most of our first floor. And so that's where the TV is. So I stripped out almost everything out of the living room, but I was going to leave one box. And so I left the NVIDIA Shield, and because that's their primary device for watching things. And I heard them talking about wanting to watch something like, I don't know, one of those cooking shows that's on Hulu. And my oldest daughter says, well, but Hulu doesn't work on this server. You have to watch it on the TiVo server. And I'm like, oh, well, hold on. What?
Like, server?
There's so many problems here. What are you talking about? Servers? It's the boxes. So apparently, you know, she tells me Hulu just doesn't work on this thing, and this thing being the NVIDIA Shield. And so I open up Hulu and I start streaming something, and the video just freezes. And you can hear the audio, but the video just freezes. And so I try a couple of things. I check, you know, the video settings on the NVIDIA Shield. I uninstall the app, the Hulu app, and reinstall it. Nothing. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work on my NVIDIA Shield. And I don't know why.
Have you heard of other people having this problem? I mean, it's just so weird. Just this one app.
When I Googled it, I found other people complaining about similar sounding things. But all of those posts were old, like 2019-ish or older. So I don't know. What I do know is we've got a whole lot of people that listen to this show who have an NVIDIA Shield. So I would love to hear everybody's experience on whether or not Hulu is working for them. Now, I do have the original NVIDIA Shield, which I think came out, oh my gosh, I think it came out in 2015. It might have been 2016, but it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that box is still amazing. So let me know if Hulu works for you on your Shield. And if it does, maybe some tips on what I could do to make it work on mine, because that'd be nice. The other thing that I did see some of, though, that I do want to point out, this is a little bit of an off-the-wall sort of recommendation. I have a 7.5-year-old daughter, and she typically watches a lot of really annoying crap on YouTube, but she's found something that's actually really funny and really good and has nothing that I found objectionable to it, which can be hard when we're talking about YouTube and kids.
Right.
It is a channel called LankyBox, LankyBox, and it's two dudes, probably in their early 20s, and most of the time, they're just like making little skits or doing spoof music videos. Like they'll take a music video from like the Disney movie, The Descendants, and they'll try and recreate it with like no budget at all. And, you know, it's two guys and most of these videos have women in them. So they're like wearing wigs and, you know, using Oreo packages as the costumes. Like it is ridiculous. And it is so funny. It is hilariously funny. So it's probably not going to annoy you if your kids check it out. Like that's a pretty important, metric there when you're looking at new shows for your kids, except for the fact that the one dude, he screams a lot. Like he'll fall over and start screaming and stuff like that. And the first few times that she watched it and she's watching on her tablet across the room or whatever, and you're just hearing this guy scream a lot and you're like, oh my gosh, can you find something else to watch? But then when you actually give it a chance and you see this guy, you're like, oh yeah, this works. This is hilarious. You can keep watching this. The screaming doesn't bother me anymore because it's hilarious. So LankyBox, it's a lot of fun.
Interesting. I have never heard of this. Well, other than the time that we recorded this episode the first time.
Two nights ago. So that's it for me. Fortunately, my flooring project is basically done. I'm going to be moving everything back in this weekend. I cannot wait to have my living room put back together. We were eating dinner tonight and Jen mentioned a Counting Crows song. And I said, you know what I miss most about our living room? My giant speakers. Watching TV through TV speakers is awful.
Oh yeah.
And I can't wait to have the good speakers back. It'll be nice. We'll also probably return to doing this podcast live starting whenever we do the next episode, which probably isn't going to be, well, actually, it's definitely not going to be
Tuesday night.
It could be next week. Like if there's a lot of news, like maybe we'll end up recording on Wednesday night, but we've got an election that's going on in case you haven't heard. And Richard and I love following this stuff. So he and I are both going to be glued to our TVs and our tablets and our computers, looking at all of the different data. At least that's how I watch.
Yep.
I'm like,
yep.
Four different devices, pulling in news and counts and all the stuff from all over the place.
Yep.
So definitely not recording next Tuesday, but maybe next week if there's stuff to talk about, which there might not be. Like everything might just try and get out of the way of this election. So we'll see. But like we said at the top of the show, we love hearing from you. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a bunch of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Maybe most of you use Facebook about as much as I do or about as much as Richard does, because Richard just noticed that the Facebook post thing hasn't exactly been working since about June. So if you've been wondering, well, man, these guys don't do anything anymore because you only get our content like through Facebook. Well, hey, we're back to posting again.
And apparently I have a friend who only gets our content through Facebook because that's how I found out about it.
Right. That's an embarrassing one. But hey, that should be fixed. I should have checked today, because today we did have something else post, and that would be the latest episode of your other show, Home On.
Indeed. And I was thrilled to have Dan Seifert, the head of product reviews from The Verge, join me to talk about a whole bunch of product announcements. And we had a really, really fun time. I think it was just I want to say it was just a delight of an episode. We had such a good time. It was hard to edit because, again, we recorded for so long, but glad to have that out there. And as an added bonus, at least I think this is a bonus, and I hope others will think so too, because this helps us a lot. We are really happy to have This Old House back as a sponsor on this episode.
Cool. I've not gotten to listen to this episode yet, so I will be listening to that first thing tomorrow morning.
All right.
All right. Well, like I said, we should be back next week sometime with the live show. We normally do it Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to be doing that show, because that's going to do it for episode 538, The Remix. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.